Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Soulvox Radio presents Evolve with your host, Robin White Turtle Disney. Hi, this is Robin White Turtle Disney, and you are listening to Evolve. Evolve is a radio show that focuses on consciousness, the arts, and culture. Today, my special guest is Maitreyi Ma, who is a spiritual teacher. She is also an author, a licensed transpersonal psychologist, and an ordained yogic minister, or achara. Is that correct? Achara. Yes. And she is teaches traditional yogic meditation, philosophy, and the ancient wisdom teachings of yoga. She's also an ERYT 500 yoga teacher and a yogic therapist. She had the experience of Diksha in 1969, which helped her to understand her guru at the time that she refers to as Baba, and then also her inner guru. And we're going to talk all about that. So I'm so excited to have you. Thank you so much for being here, Maitreyi.
Thank you, Robin. Yeah. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So I wanted to begin today by talking about your new book, which sounds just terrific, Living Love, the Yoga of Yama and the Niyamas. So could you talk a little bit about that and how it came to be?
Yes, this is my book, Living Love, the Yoga of Yama and Niyama, Timeless Teachings for Transformation and Awakening. And this book is about the ancient teachings of yoga on how to live in the world. Yama and Niyama are the two limbs of the eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga that deal with how you bring your yoga and your spiritual life into the world to manifest it in your life. Mm-hmm. And they're sometimes called ethical principles, but if you look from a psychological point of view, they're more than ethical principles. They're the deep psychological ways that we can bring light and love and grace into our lives. Mm-hmm. And the book talks about those ancient principles and how to apply them in your basic daily life. Mm-hmm. And it also brings in concepts like forgiveness, gratitude, loving kindness, how to work with bringing happiness into your life, what it means to be happy, what it means to love. Mm-hmm. Because these are all related to the practices of Yama and Niyama. So it brings in a lot of kinds of things that are talked about in positive psychology, because the teachings of yoga really are teachings of positive psychology. Mm-hmm. And how to work with your life in a positive way. And so this book is about working with your issues, using the ancient teachings of yoga to help heal and find meaning and find your way to deep spiritual life and awakening. Mm-hmm. Because it's when we really live the life that we want to live, when we really begin to incorporate these principles in our lives, it allows us to open up space for meditation, deep meditative practice, and our connection to the divine. Mm-hmm. And so this book is about that, and it's about awakening that connection and the transformation that you can have through the ancient teachings of yoga. And so the book came really, well, it's sort of a long story how this book really came about.
That's okay.
it's because the book itself is derived from a series of spiritual talks that I've given that are intuitively received, and so I call them intuitive Baba talks. And I feel they come from the divine guru, the one eternal self. They come from that divine source and are just sort of come through into the world. And when I do these talks, I don't, like, they're not from the intellect. I don't plan them. I don't figure them out. I don't think what I'm going to talk about. I just go into a meditative space and connect with the divine guru within. and who I call Baba. Baba in Sanskrit means beloved, mm-hmm. with the mm-hmm. beloved. And allow that divine flow to flow through, and whatever needs to be said is said. And so there, I've been doing this for a long time now, maybe since 1990, a long time. And in it, there's all kinds of teachings, and all these different talks have been transcribed. And so this book is a compilation of talks that are about yama niyama, about forgiveness, about gratitude, about happiness. And so those talks have been brought together and then, you know, transcribed and modified to be in book form. And where there were gaps, I felt that I went into an inner space and received writing from that space too. Mm-hmm. That wasn't mm-hmm. from talks, but from writing. But writing from that deep space where you're connecting with spirit. Mm-hmm. And so that's been how this book manifested. So I,
wonderful.
In a way, I put my name on the front, but I can't entirely claim credit for it. I feel mm-hmm. it came from a deeper source.
Uh-huh.
So.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm so interested in what you said about connecting positive psychology with the ancient wisdom teachings of yoga, because last month we just had someone who's a positive psychologist. And so I'm fascinated by that topic because I think it's so important to live out of our yes and not out of the no's or the negatives that we are. So can you talk a little bit more about that and how you interface those two? Because I think there's a huge need for it in the culture to...
There is.
Yeah.
Well, I am a psychologist. I have training in transpersonal psychology.
Uh-huh.
And But before I was ever a psychologist, I was a yogi.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing yoga since 1969, so a long time. And out of that grew my inspiration for an interest in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And what is really evolving, so there was the whole movement of transpersonal psychology, and then what's evolved more recently is the movement of positive psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of taking not only the transpersonal aspect, but taking how we look at our personal aspect
mm-hmm.
of our lives from a positive viewpoint, studying happiness
mm-hmm.
And how we become optimal human beings, how we become happy, as opposed to studying pathology mm-hmm. and what's wrong with this. And
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of the idea is where you focus is kind of where you go. And that if you want to work with depression and anxiety, you're probably going to get a lot more out of thinking about what's good and what the positive things you can do about it rather than what's wrong with you.
Right.
And so what's interesting is if you go back thousands of years, the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali were written in 200 AD.
Uh-huh.
And you go back to these ancient teachings, and those teachings that Patanjali wrote when he wrote the Yoga Sutras, which was a compilation of the teachings of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
But they're based on much earlier teachings, thousands of years before that. And
mm-hmm.
and he really wrote down the knowledge of his time. So it's not like they just came about in 200 AD even. These are really ancient teachings.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is they work with the mind. A lot of what is yogic teaching is a way of working with the mind. And I should say, another comment, is that the teachings of yoga, and not everyone knows this, are foundational to three major world religions.
Mm-hmm.
They are the foundation of Hinduism,
mm-hmm.
they are the foundation of Buddhism, and they are the foundation of Jainism.
Mm.
So three world religions are based on the philosophical base of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So yoga is the foundation, not yoga as a hatha yoga asana practice, but yoga as a philosophical base. The word yoga means to yoke, to unite the little and the great.
Mm.
So it's the yoking of the small self to the greater and larger self.
Uh-huh.
And that is yoga. And so these ancient teachings really form a foundational base. And they are very aligned with positive psychology, because the whole principle of yoga is that how we think, how we work with our mind develops where our mind goes. The mind has two real major components. One is that it's malleable. Mm-hmm. It's changes. It moves, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has movement. That's the second one. It's movement. And being malleable, it takes the form of whatever it concentrates on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're watching a movie, your mind moves into the characters of that movie. You can become so absorbed that you completely forget who you are and what's going on, and you are living the movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something dramatic happens and you jump in your seat because you're living the movie. And so that's the quality of mind. Mind can take on whatever it forms towards. And so positive psychology is saying, okay, if that's the case, let's talk about gratitude. Let's concentrate on those things that we have to be grateful for, and let's train our mind to think about, well, what happened that's good in my life? You know, there's a very simple positive psychology exercise, and that's that you take 2 weeks and you think of three things every single day that are positive in your life, and three new things every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's probably easy the first day you think of the second day, it gets a little bit harder. You have to think of three different things. The third day, oh my God, you got to think of three more. You know? But what it does is you start searching your mind for things that are right in life.
Yes, yes.
As opposed to searching your mind for what's wrong in life.
Yes.
And the reason we go to what's wrong in life, that seems so natural to fall into what's wrong with me, what's wrong with my life, what's wrong with the world, what's wrong, is that it's a kind of survival mechanism.
Yes.
It's like, I'm going to scout out all the dangers before they come to me and check out where they are, and that way the panther isn't going to jump on me and eat me because I've figured out where they jump and
right.
I'm not going to be there.
Right?
It's sort of basic survival.
Yeah.
But it becomes, in our modern day context, dysfunctional.
Yes.
Because we start always concentrating on this fear-based psychology of what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong,
mm-hmm.
and not looking at what's right.
Right.
So yoga takes it a step further, and yoga says that the basis of life is love,
mm-hmm.
divine love.
Right.
That there is underlying everything an amazing love, an amazing capacity, and that love is the foundation of everything.
Yes.
So that out of that love, we've been born, we exist, we grow. And to find ourselves is to find that love.
Yes.
And to find that greater love that is greater than our body-mind identity, right?
Yes.
And so that's the ultimate positive psychology,
absolutely.
If you will. It goes beyond just, you know, how do I feel good about me as an individual?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do I really connect with goodness itself? How do I really connect with love? How do I really connect with light? How do I be totally in love, you know, and how do I be that love?
Yes.
And so that's what yoga is about.
Mm-hmm.
And we have meditative practice in yoga, you know, to bring us into connection with that divine self, connection with that infinite love, with that one omnipresent existence, that one beloved.
Yes.
And we have the yoga postures, the asanas, the breathing exercises and so on to work with our body-mind integration because, you know, these are our temples, our bodies, right?
Yes.
But what we have, in addition to that, is in the yamas and niyamas, we have ways of working with our psychology, ways of working with our mind, how we live in the world, how we manifest who we are in the world,
mm-hmm.
in ways that bring that light of spirit into our life,
mm-hmm.
and make it who we are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to bring that spirit not only into our sitting meditation, but into our daily life,
yes.
into the way we interface with others, into the way we exist in relationship to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is increasing our self-love, Because, you know, what we think about ourselves, how we relate to ourselves, is how we relate to others. If we can't love and accept things in ourselves, we can't accept them in others.
That's right.
You know, if we're battling with our own anger, it's very hard to accept other people's anger.
That's right.
If we're battling with our self-esteem and our self-worth, it's hard to feel that other people are valuable. You know, we all of this goes together to form a whole psychology of how we live in the world. And so yama and niyama and the teachings that are in this book are about that. They're about this positive way we are in the world, how we can bring love into our lives, how we can live love in our lives. That's why the name of the book is Living Love.
Yeah, yeah. Because so, it really is all what my experiences from my teachers and within my own meditation practice is that it is about becoming that which we already are, which is love, unconditional love. So if we can focus on that unconditional love, which in my mind is that divine love that we all are that, then we have to clear out all of those other cobwebs that have to do with conditioning and what we've been, how we feel about ourselves and the parts that don't like us. Yeah, we have to deal with all of that. So,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we need tools.
Yes.
To be able to take this journey and to work on it. We need tools to be able to concentrate the mind and to be able to go deep into that love in the place that isn't about the intellect, isn't about the words, but where there's a deep, vibrant connection.
Yes.
With that cosmic divinity.
Yes.
Which is truly beyond words and truly beyond our own individual ego.
Yes.
It's something incredibly vast, incredibly beautiful, incredibly powerful. And I think most people at some point in their life have a touch of that,
mm-hmm.
whether it's an experience in nature, an experience with another person,
mm-hmm.
but there's that, or an experience in deep meditation, that moment of transcendence,
yes.
where you move beyond your limited sense of I and mine, and
mm-hmm.
you melt into the wholeness of an incredible love that's just more than anything that can be expressed in words.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so that's really, you know, that's the point of yoga and all the yogic practices.
Mm-hmm.
But to sustain that moment, which perhaps we've run across just momentarily in that instant, we do practices to enhance our ability to really make that connection. Just like if you want to be a pianist, you have to practice piano, right? You
mm-hmm.
know, if you want to be really good at something, you really need to make it part of your life and really incorporate it. And so we have our meditative practices, and the yamas and the niyamas, they're the part of yoga which is interesting. As yoga's come to the West, it came with meditation, and then it came with all of this yoga postures, asana practice, all these yoga classes, and that became the signature of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
But what hasn't really come to the West effectively are the yamas and the niyamas.
Mm-hmm.
They're underemphasized because they're actually the foundational practices of the whole yogic system.
Mm-hmm.
Without the ability to sort of clean up our lives a little bit, work with our attitudes and our beliefs, it's hard to really hold divine spirit. It's hard to hold a meditative practice. It's hard to deeply connect unless we work with our attitudes, unless we work with how we relate to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so these practices are really fundamental. They're foundational.
Yes. Well, that's fantastic. I'm so glad that we're talking, because this is such important information for people. I want to take a little break, and then we'll come back. And when we come back, we have so much more to talk about. So
okay,
exciting.
Wonderful.
So I'm with Maitreyi Ma, And she is a psychologist and a spiritual teacher who lives in Santa Rosa. And we'll be right back.
Evolve, nurturing the new in consciousness, the arts, and culture with your host, Robin White Turtle Lisney. Evolve brings you people and ideas on the cutting edge of change, opening the shells of the past to move our culture into the now. We are all in great need of sustainable ideas for change. Evolve brings you the wise, the foolish, and the heart-based to help us meet the challenges of our times. Join us the third Thursday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for Evolve.
Hi, this is Robin White Turtle Listening, and the show is Evolve, and we're back with Maitreyi Ma, and she is a spiritual teacher and also a transpersonal psychologist, and she has a great new book called Living Love, The Yoga of Yama and Niyama, and so we've been just talking about that, and I'd love to know how you got into this practice of yoga. I know you were in India, and you met your teacher. Can you talk a little bit about that story? Because I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, well, actually, I was living in Southern Illinois, and at that time, I was a very young woman. I was in college, and I was living in Southern Illinois, and I had a series of actually mystical experiences using LSD and had this powerful, profound experiences of divine love. And I went, well, how do you get here? You know, and then I took a course at that same time at the Southern Illinois University on the Bhagavad Gita. Mm. And I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, and I went, oh my goodness, this is what I experienced? You mean other people experience this too? You know, and I was so excited that I felt like what I had come across accidentally in my youth experimenting was the same kinds of experiences that were being talked about in the Bhagavad Gita. And so I became, very excited by that and wanted to know more about Eastern traditions and about meditation. And how I could have those experiences as a part of my life and not just a high, and so I set about wanting to learn meditation. Mm-hmm. But, I lived in Southern Illinois in 1969, and nobody was teaching meditation. So I went to Wheaton, Illinois, where the Theosophical Society was, and I got this book out on meditation, and I was very excited. But then the book said, you shouldn't learn meditation without a teacher. And I went, oh, no, what am I going to do? I live in Southern Illinois, in the middle of, cornfield here. I mean, where am I going to get a yogi to come and teach me? But as it so happened, as these kind of mystical synchronicities begin to happen in your life, just the very next week after that intention came that I really wanted to learn meditation, two yogis came into town. One was a TM teacher, and one was an Ananda Marga Swami, Avahuta it's called, all in orange, from India. And so I went to see him, and he was quite a mystical figure. And so I liked him, and so I took Diksha, which is the initiation into the meditative practices. And I learned meditation, and I began to have all these powerful experiences, and mystical experiences began to happen really shortly after I learned meditation. In fact, it was a little scary. I stopped meditating for a while because it was a little intense for me. But then I started again, and all these really beautiful, profound experiences began to open up. And the result was that I felt an inner connection to an inner divine being emerge through my meditative experience and through a powerful series of mystical experiences. Mm. And this inner being called himself Baba. He said he was my guru. He said, actually, he told me he was my kula guru. Well, I had no idea what that meant. I asked him to spell it. And so I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I went to the Southern Illinois University Library, and I looked up, and I looked up the words, kula guru. What does this mean, you know? And in this big Sanskrit dictionary, Sanskrit English dictionary in the library at Southern Illinois University, and it said it was sheep herder. I went, sheep herder? What does that mean? You know? So, but at least it was a word, you know? Yeah, I mean, yeah. that was a point. At least it was a real word. So, so I sat with that for a while, and I sat with this guidance and this unfoldment of some very profound experiences of unity and light and divine presence. Mm-hmm. And then I got the guidance that I should go to India and meet this guru physically, that I actually had a physical guru, and I should go meet him. And so my husband had been away at the time, and he came back, and I said, I think I need to go to India. And he said, all right, let's go. And so we sold everything we owned and bought one-way tickets to India.
Wow.
And I went following my inner guidance, my inner guru, to Baba, who called himself Baba, to India to meet my outer guru, who I'd taken diksha from the Swami, who was a Swami or an Avahuta of this guru. His name is Sri Sri Anandamurti. Mm-hmm. And so I went to see Sri Sri Anandamurti in India. He lived in Patna, which is near Calcutta, sort of. And so I went to Patna on this one-way ticket. So when I got there, I was there. I ended up staying for a year. And Baba gave darshan twice a day. And I had all those experiences that one has when you're first in the presence of a great master and enlightened being who you know can read your mind, and suddenly all the things that you wouldn't want to think in front of someone who could read your mind start coming to the surface. And, you know, I went through all of those things for a week or so. And then I began to feel this amazing divine presence from my physical guru, Sri Sri Anandamurti, that was really the same energy signature as the inner presence of Baba that I had felt. And things that Baba had said to me internally, my external guru, Sri Sri Anandamurti, began to answer. And one of the things he answered was, one day I came in and I sat for darshan. What darshan means, sight of the guru, when you sit around the guru. And he sat on this little platform bed called a chokhi. And he gave a talk. And that day he made his talk, his entire talk, about the meaning of the term kula guru. And he took everything and he said, kula guru is the guru who raises the kula kundalini. And kula guru is also the family guru, of a person, the guru of your family, the guru, the sort of familiar guru.
Yeah.
So
the teacher guru. Guru meaning teacher, is that correct?
The what?
Doesn't guru mean teacher? Just for
guru,
our audience.
Guru means one who guides.
One who guides.
Lightness, from darkness to light.
Uh-huh. Very specific teacher.
Yes, one who guides from darkness to light. Uh-huh. And kula guru, kula means family or familiar. And also means one who raises the kula kundalini, the kundalini energies, from the base chakra upward.
Yes.
And so he explained all the details about the kula guru and what the kula guru was, which was far more enlightening than the Sanskrit dictionary in the Southern Illinois University.
Yeah.
And so that was the beginning of my time, and I had a great deal of time with my physical guru as well as with my inner guru, Baba, and my physical guru, my external Baba, and they became one and the same for me. And that was sort of how it evolved. And then I had a lot of inner guidance for many years, but the inner guidance and teaching, I received much teaching from my inner Baba about the yogic, about the path of enlightenment. So much of what I learned about yoga, I learned within. I did not learn it all from books. And but it was just teaching for me for many, many years. That was from 1970 to 1990. These teachings were for me. They weren't. I was never guided to share it with everyone. I was never guided to teach. I was only the. I was a student, and I was learning. And my Guru Dev was teaching me from within. And I received these teachings for years. And then one day, and then a series of mystical experiences, deep mystical experiences, began to happen again in the 90s. And I was guided that Guru, the inner Baba, began to say, the teachings that I have given you all of these years for you, now I want you to give to others. I want you to be able, I want to be able to speak them to others, not just to you. And so there was that 20 years of basically my learning. And then my guru left his body at that time in 1990. And at that time I was guided to start allowing the flow of teachings that I was receiving for me to flow through to other people. And I began very slowly, just sort of, I would hear three words and then I would say them, and three more words and then I would say them, and they turned into sentences miraculously and paragraphs and whole talks. People recorded them. And then after a while, he taught me how to just not listen and speak, but just to let it flow through. And so then I began doing that, and this spiritual guidance and teaching that I had been receiving all those years then became these, what I call Baba talks. And the books that I have are based on these Baba talks. It's this flow of guidance and energy and love that comes from this higher source, which I have experienced as guru. And, you know, guru means one who guides from darkness to light. And there's a lot of confusion about the term guru in the West. It's used in a lot of different ways. But one thing that Baba always taught me is that there is only one guru. There is only one self. There is only one divine loving consciousness. There is only one being. And all the different physical gurus that we see are all manifestations of that one eternal self. But the guru itself, the true guru, is one. So that's why names are many, but the self is one.
I totally feel that truth in my heart. And you've also written several books on women's mysticism, and I'd really love to talk more about that. We're going to take another little break, and then we'll be right back. I'm speaking with Maitreyi Ma, who is a spiritual teacher and a licensed psychologist and many other things, an author. So we'll be back in just a minute. This is Robin White Turtle listening, and the show is Evolve. Hi, this is your host for Evolve, Robin White Turtle Lisney, and I wanted to share with you a few of the other things that I do in the world beside the radio show. In addition, I'm an energy medicine practitioner in the Bay Area and across the country by phone, And I work through East West Bookshop in Mountain View, California. So you can always find me there on Fridays. In addition, I have 5 books. 4 of them are nonfiction, and 1 is a fiction book that's actually based on facts, called Poems for the Lost Deer. The other books are Heart Path, Heart Path Handbook, and prior to that, Sacred Living and Dancing Up the Moon. My more recent books, Heart Path and Heart Path Handbook, teach people self-love, and this is the foundation of my practice, that love does heal all things. You can find out more about my work on my website, www.thecenterforthesoul.com, and you can also check out the books on www.bluebonebooks.com. And now we'll go back to the show.
And this beautiful play of earth and heaven, divine and worldly, that play together in this endless duality that comes into a unitary whole.
Mm-hmm.
And it manifests on many, many levels, these same archetypal principles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is a time, I think, when there's an opportunity for that spiritual growth that happens when you can unify these two principles within yourself and find the wholeness of being that comes. Whether your Ishtadeva, your form that it takes is Jesus or the Divine Mother or the Divine Father, whatever the form, it's the one eternal one, the one eternal self, the divine God self. And that one comes from this harmony of duality into unity.
Mm-hmm.
And the path of wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of philosophy, I just love the teachings of yoga. Mm-hmm. And the teachings of the way of wholeness, the way to that inner sanctuary of the divine.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause we're really talking about our inner experience, not necessarily a philosophy that's externally imposed necessarily. Would you agree? Yeah, they're really
all
about our inner.
All yoga have come from people's inner experience.
Yes.
They are from deep states of consciousness that are non-dual. Mm-hmm. And really, then people try to express what is really inexpressible in words,
Mm-hmm.
And out of that arises all the scriptures and all the teachings and all the books and talks and everything that happen, right? You know? Mm-hmm. But it's people trying to express in words the inexpressible.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only guideposts. And I think the beauty of yoga is that yoga is a journey. It's a journey to the self, and it's an inner journey. Yoga is a science. It's a science of how to approach your inner being and find that journey, how to follow the path to wholeness. And it doesn't require that you believe in anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of teachings there to read, ideas of expressions of other people's experiences. My book is one, Living Love here.
Yes.
Is an expression of the timeless teachings that I have known.
Yes.
And of my journey and what I've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, although you read so much, this is the practice of Svadhyaya, which is one of the yamas and niyamas. You read, you go to talks, you do blogs and radio shows, all kinds of things.
Yes.
But ultimately, when you settle from all of these teachings that you receive, which is wonderful from guidance of other people's experiences, but then it comes to your own experience.
Right.
And knowing the self is a matter of inner research. It's a matter of, and that's the whole practice of Svadhyaya, which is part of the Yamas and Niyamas. Mm-hmm. It's a practice of looking within and finding the inner self within you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is only an inner journey. All of the teachings that you've ever read, anything that you've ever done, is only preparation for your own personal inner journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that personal inner journey, when you really begin to walk it and to make it, goes beyond words, mm-hmm. goes beyond thoughts about things, goes beyond beliefs and concepts into direct experience.
Yes.
And that's what yoga is about. It's about moving into direct experience of divinity,
mm-hmm.
moving into direct experience of the wholeness of being. These things that people say are not just ideas that people have. They are truths that people have seen, truths that you can access.
Yes.
They're truths that are there and available for anyone. It's from your own inner research,
right.
your own inner inquiry that it comes.
Yeah. Well, Maitreya Ima, thank you so much. This has been such a delightful conversation. I feel like we could keep talking.
But we've
come to the end of our program, and I just want to thank you again. Your website, I understand, is yogama.info, and that's an easy one to remember. So anyone wanting her book, Living Love, Living Love, the Yoga of Yama and Niyama, can find it there. And also it's on Amazon, is that right?
Yes, it's on Amazon.
Yeah.
Bookstores.
But I always encourage people to go directly to the source. So yogama.info is her website. I've been speaking with Maitreya Ima, who is a psychologist, but also a spiritual teacher and in Santa Rosa. So thank you so much for your time and for this interview, and I'm sure it's going to inspire many, many people.
Thank you, Robin. It's been wonderful to be here with you.
Yes.
Namaste.
So I'm Robin White Turtle Lisney, and the show is Evolve. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time for Evolve with Robin White Turtle Lisney, Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m.